From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Election Day is less than a week away, and here in Illinois, there are 17 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives that are up for grabs. But if we're being honest, most of those races are a lot less competitive, a lot less up for grabs than we might have learned in civics class. And today we're going to talk about what we might call long shot candidacies. And to do that, we're focusing on Illinois' newly redrawn 15th congressional district. It takes up much of the central part of the state, largely rural areas, and spans from the Mississippi River in the west to the Indiana state line in the east. The northern part of the district is a short drive from the Quad Cities, while the southernmost tip is an even shorter drive to St. Louis. But most pertinent to our discussion today are the political preferences of the voters in the 15th. They are, by and large, big-time supporters of former President Donald Trump. According to Scott Kennedy at the website Illinois Election Data, voters in the 15th favored Trump over Biden by more than 38 percentage points in 2020. The Republican nominee for this district is Congresswoman Mary Miller. She served in the House since last year, and in June she defeated five-term incumbent Rodney Davis in the Republican primary, thanks in part to an endorsement from Trump himself at a rally in the district. It's into this gale force set of headwinds that Paul Lang is making a run for Congress as a Democrat. Lang has lived in the area of Quincy, Illinois, since 1974. He ran twice for a seat in the Illinois House of Representatives. That was back in the mid-90s. He lost both times. This year, Lang has raised just a small fraction of the money of his Trump-backed opponent, and there have been no big rallies headlined by former Democratic presidents. So he's mounting what his campaign has called a grassroots effort, and his platform includes voting rights, strengthening Social Security, and improving the country's health care. Paul Lang joins us now in studio. Mr. Lang, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And before we go on, I do want to mention, we talked last week on our show about how Representative Mary Miller rarely speaks with reporters, has not debated her opponents, at least not this year. And in the past 2 years, several of us at Illinois Public Media have invited her to sit down for interviews, including here on the 21st Show. She has yet to take us up on those offers. That said, you can take us up on an offer to ask a question of the Democratic candidate for the 15th Congressional District. The number is 800-222-9455. What do you want to know about Paul Lang's platform or just about what it's like to run as an underdog? 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So, Paul Lang, why do you want to represent Illinois' 15th District in Congress?
Well, as you mentioned, there was a number of reasons. The first one was democracy. You don't have a democracy if you go into a vote and there's no choice. Second, there were some infrastructure needs. Both Mr. Davis, Congressman Davis, and Congresswoman Miller voted against the infrastructure bill that passed through a bipartisan bill that passed through Congress. I'm very interested in seeing on the Mississippi and the Illinois rivers the lock and dam system improved. And finally, I'm a big believer in Social Security, and I believe it needs to be strengthened. The trustees have talked about the trust fund is becoming depleted by 2034, and I think we need to do something now so that that's there for future generations.
What are your qualifications for office?
First off, I am 25, so thank you. You did help me with my age. I have been involved in areas such as politics. I did, like you mentioned, I ran in the 90s. I've helped a number of candidates recently, and I feel like I've got to know people. I know a number of people who voted for Trump. I'm like to think that I might be able to change their mind, maybe not. And I have feel like I have common sense.
25, of course, being the constitutional qualification for running for the U.S. House. So, all right, we checked that box. I mentioned in the introduction to this setup that you ran for the Illinois State House of Representatives against, I think it was Art Tenhouse in the 90s. What did you learn from those experiences, and how has campaigning changed today from back then?
Well, I ran against Art, and I liked Art, because, again, there was nobody else on the ballot. I think that's important. Sometimes it's difficult, but if we don't have at least two choices, then you really don't have a democracy in a sense. What I learned back then was most people, if you talk with them, their goals and their dreams and things like that we're basically about the same. Lately, things have seemed like we're off track, that we're a two-track country. But at one time, you could go and talk with Republican people who voted Republican, and it didn't become a shouting match or anything like that. It was just you talked about some issues, and everybody was agreeable. Now it's changed somewhat, but I also learned that I wasn't the best candidate then because I didn't know all the issues when I went into it. I went into it again because there was nobody on the ballot, and I'd made the comment to somebody, "It's a shame there's nobody on the ballot." So they took me up on it. But this time I do think I know the issues, and you know, we'll see what happens. I'm a long shot, I know that, but I'm out there and I'm working. I've been to all 35 counties. And it's taken a while. I've met a lot of people, most of them Democrats, but then a good number of Republicans also.
Well, I want to bring another voice into our conversation. And you mentioned, you acknowledged being a long shot. And this is the voice of Republican Thomas Lynch, who's running in the second congressional district. This spans a good part of northeastern down into central eastern Illinois. He's up against incumbent Democratic Representative Robin Kelly in another race where the outcome seems, I don't know, all but inevitable. Kelly's campaign never responded to repeated requests for an interview this election cycle, and we were not able to coordinate our schedules to have Lynch on live with us. But he did talk to my Illinois public media colleague Harrison Malkin last month about what he's been hearing from people in his district. Let's listen to that clip.
I've been in the South Side, and I've been in the rural areas, like asking the people what they care about, and in honesty, it's not very much of what they're doing in Washington.
Paul Ling, I wonder if what Thomas Lynch was talking about there resonates with you and what you're hearing from voters.
Inflation is the biggest thing. And so, yes, I would say some of it is, that's very true. Some people that I've encountered, their biggest issue is what happened as far as the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. Other people who have unlimited income, especially, inflation's really hurting them. So, you know, it's not just one thing that I hear. And it's not all negative Washington. It's a matter of people trying to get by. I don't know if I agree completely with this statement, but I do think there's aspects of it that I agree with, yes.
Well, what you mentioned inflation. Talk about more about that divide and what you're hearing from voters out there in terms of, you know, you mentioned some are most interested in the abortion issue, others inflation. What else are you hearing?
Well, as far as, I'll just talk to you about a woman from Mercer County. She's on Social Security. And so every cycle, because I know in my case, Social Security, the check comes in the middle of the month. Anyway, every cycle, at the end of it, she has to decide whether she takes her medicine or eats. So that's one person and their situation. Another person I met in Whitehall, which is in Greene County, he's looking at, and a number of people are in this situation, their utility bills are going to double. I think Pike County, Illinois, Greene County are in that situation where their electric gas is going, the bills are going to double. I know in Quincy, they were talking about doubling the water bills, and mine went up $10, went from $15 to $25, this last one. So it's a number of different things that affect people in certain ways.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just joining us, we are talking with Paul Lang, who is the Democratic nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives for Congress in the 15th Congressional District, which covers much of central Illinois, from Iowa in Missouri in the west over to Indiana in the east. And he's up against incumbent Republican Congresswoman Mary Miller this fall in a district that does favor Republicans pretty strongly. President Trump, the district was redrawn after the 2020 election, but analyzing past data, it went by almost 40 points for President Trump. And I want to ask you, we mentioned at the top of the segment, campaign finance is obviously a big part of campaigning in 2022, as it been for a long time. Your opponent has a lot more money to spend than you do. How does that affect how you've gone about trying to reach voters?
Well, you do what you can with what you have. Now, I've been fortunate. I've had a number of people on a volunteer basis, very qualified people, offer their services. And so I don't feel like I'm completely out there. I've had two men especially help me with, help the campaign, I should say, with the creating ads for TV for us. And I have a number of other people that they have certain skill sets that have helped us get our message out, I believe. Is it like a top-notch campaign? No. But, you know, we're on Facebook. We have a web page. And we do have some commercials on TV out there. We've done messaging through texting through a telephone where you go through a number of telephone numbers that have been generated. So,
do you feel like you've had any support from local and state politicians or the National Democratic Party?
I think Senator Durbin's helped me out some, and Bill Houlihan. So some, yes. On a big scale, no. For the Democrats, the big districts are the 13th and the 17th. I can't say I've had no support, and but you know, it is what it is, and I don't at this point I really don't feel too bad about it.
Sure, and obviously this is not. I'm not intending to make you feel bad, and I do want to come back and talk a little more. We need to take a break in a few minutes, but I want to talk more about that thing you mentioned earlier about the idea of, you know, it's not really a democracy if you don't have at least some choice on the ballot. But as you're out there campaigning, you mentioned the people who talking to some Trump voters, friends of yours even, who are Trump voters. How do you comport your issues, right? How do your issues, your positions on issues align with the people of the district? And have you modified? Have you sort of been swayed at all to them? Are you trying to persuade them to you? How does that line up?
Well, let's take the issue of Social Security. A decent number of Trump supporters are on Social Security. Now, two senators, Rick Scott from Florida, even though I think he's recanted his position, and then Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, have talked about eliminating Social Security.
I think Mike Lee in Utah maybe as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I mention this to these people, one man in particular said, well, I guess it'll be tent city for me. So that is one way to relate. The other thing is, like on choice, if you relate it in a way that says, now, do you want the government to regulate what a woman can or can't do with her body, then sometimes they can see that point. Some of the things, and I'm going to go back when Trump was actually president, that he brought about, like bringing manufacturing back to America. But he never followed through on it. The trade deficit actually went a little higher, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of his term. It was a little bit higher than when he started. Whereas the Democrats have. They followed through with this CHIPS and Science Act, and there's things that going on. Not to get into this, but I can't help it. It's just across the border in Indiana. Purdue University is expanding semiconductor education to fill a need when we're because Intel and a number of their other companies are building factories in the U.S. Now, myself, I would like to see the U of I or Eastern Illinois University, Western Illinois University, even if they're not right in my district, get into some of that. Things like that, it's happening under Democrats.
Sure. All right, we need to take a break. We're going to continue our conversation with Paul Lang, who is the Democratic nominee for the 15th Congressional District, facing incumbent Mary Miller, who, just to be candid about it, is favored to win based on the voting patterns of the various precincts in that district as they lined up in the past. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break and talk about the cost of gerrymandering and whether voters are well represented or disenfranchised. We're going to continue our conversation with Paul Lang in just a moment. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. A little later in the program, we're going to listen back to our conversation on Amendment 1, the Labor Rights Amendment that's on everyone's ballots this November. It would essentially enshrine collective bargaining and organization rights in the Illinois Constitution. We had a pro and con conversation about that last month. We're going to re-air that today as people are getting closer and closer to Election Day. That's a little bit later this hour. But for now, we're continuing our conversation live with Paul Lang, who joins us in studio. He is the Democratic nominee for the 15th Congressional District, facing incumbent Republican U.S. Representative Mary Miller there. And we're talking about this conversation not just in the context of his candidacy, but in the context of Illinois' very heavily gerrymandered districts, right? You look at there's a guy, Scott Kennedy, at the website IL Election Data, made a chart of how all the various Illinois congressional districts voted in the last election. Some of them were 10 percentage points one way or the other. Most of them were 20, 30, 40, even more percentage points. So they are heavily drawn to favor one party or the other. Some have said this is candidates picking their voters rather than voters picking their candidates. And Pauling, I wanted to ask you about that. So why run in a district that it seems so likely to stay with a Republican nominee, regardless of who it might be?
Well, first off, for me, one thing that stood out was infrastructure. And again, to go back over that, I live in Quincy, Illinois, which is on the Mississippi River. And I believe for the future of that side of the state with the Mississippi and Illinois rivers, infrastructure as far as the rivers go is very vital. So I would like to see that money come in, and if nothing else, if I could push, I don't know if you push Mary Miller, I might have been able to push Mr.
Rodney
Davis.
Yeah. I wondered if there's any evidence, if you've seen, has Miller changed her position on any of these issues?
I can't figure out what any of her positions are sometimes, other than she votes no most of the time, and she definitely doesn't like any Democrats that I know of. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine, Brian, on that. I don't really know what she how she feels.
You know, I want to play another clip from Thomas Lynch, who's running against a Democrat in the 2nd Congressional District. He's a Republican, but like you, he's, as I mentioned earlier, he's facing similar odds, running in a district where voters favored Biden by roughly 40 percentage points. Let's take a listen to this.
I think this job in Congress, whether it's on the state side or moving on to the federal side, it's supposed to be public service. You know, you're not supposed to have a career out of this. I don't necessarily like the fact they get pensions at all. It's supposed to be service, not a career. And that's one of the big reasons why I'm jumping in, you know, trying push some of the people that maybe have gotten complacent or lost a little bit of their focus of why they're really supposed to be there.
I can see maybe if you were up against Rodney Davis where that might be a little more because he had been in for 10 years at this point, but I wonder if that resonates with you as well.
Oh, I agree with what he said on that statement. It's supposed to be about service. I won't mention anything on the pension, but yeah, it's about serving people and trying to make sure that their needs are met, but also that their opinions are out there. So, and you know, myself, to go back to the gerrymandering thing, it's difficult to take, let's say, Mercer and Henderson County, which are up towards Rock Island, and reconcile what their needs are sometimes with what the needs of Champaign County would be. I can tell you this from my travels, Champaign County, the economy over here is just a lot more vibrant than what's over there in Henderson and Mercer counties. So the needs may be different, and that's a tough part of trying to serve this district.
Yeah, some of our older listeners might remember the whole For Gottonia movement. I don't know if you had any familiarity with that back in the 70s of sort of Western Illinois being sort of left out of economic development, no highways or interstate highways, at least passing through it at the time. In the time we have remaining, I do want to ask about, you know, this sort of big picture idea of democracy, right? And the way these districts are drawn. I did a little back of the envelope math. If there's 12.4 million people in Illinois, that's about 740,000 people per congressional district. Even a Democrat who only gets 30% of the vote, they would still be representing, you know, the preferences of 200,000 Illinoisans. What does it mean for democracy, small d democracy, when districts are drawn in such a way that one party typically doesn't even bother putting up a candidate or supporting a candidate, at least?
Well, it means some people's voice, some people feel alienated. And I've seen it on the other side, too. I'm going to throw, while I'm on here, I'm going to throw out my one solution that I have on the webpage, but I don't have very much about it, and I haven't gone into it big time, but I think we the people should have a referendum, nationwide referendums.
It's the American People's Referendum Act.
Yes, to decide things like, does a woman have a right to decide what happens with her body or not? Another thing that came to my mind, and there are some people who vote, you know, for Trump and Republicans generally, but they might agree with maybe somebody 21 or younger, or I should say younger than 21, maybe they shouldn't be able to buy assault weapons legally. Just a simple concept like that. And let's see how the people, all the people of the country, felt on things like that.
Have you had any interest from national Democrats who are more likely to, frankly, be members of Congress, the next Congress, and in whether they'd take something up like that?
No, I haven't even approached them. It's, you know, with this the election, it's so vital. I haven't brought it up like I had planned originally because, well, it's just, it's new. If I was to be elected, I would bring it up, yes. I would start bugging people about this.
All right. Well, Paul Lang, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Paul Lang is a candidate, a Democratic candidate in Illinois' 15th congressional district. He's facing Republican Congresswoman Mary Miller. Paul Lang, thank you for taking the time to be with us today on the 21st show.
Well, thanks for having me. I also, before we go, just wanted to say this.
Super briefly. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for all those shows. What was it? Capital View. I love that show.
Oh, appreciate that. Been a long time, but... All right, Mr. Lang, thank you.
Appreciate
your time.
Bye.